Whatever thou shalt spend over and above, I, at my return, will repay thee. And go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes Providence arranges that the Sunday and the lessons learned from the text of the Mass on Sunday just so happen to coincide perfectly with the saint of the day. And I think that today is one of those days, and our saint today is Saint Raymond Nonatus. Raymond was born actually after the death of his mother. And so that is why he is titled Nonatus, that is to say, one who is not born. And with Saint Raymond, we find that he, when he is able to realize in his youth that the absence of his mother is a true absence in his life, that he turns instead to heaven, and he takes the Blessed Virgin Mary to be his adopted mother, and he looks at her in that way as a true mother to help him in all his life. As you can imagine, someone who looks to the Blessed Virgin for that inspiration and aid as from a mother is going to grow rapidly in his own piety, and Saint Raymond certainly did. And as he grew, it made his father nervous. His father was oftentimes absent, and Raymond was left in the care of all those to take care of him, because his father was a soldier and also a nobleman. And the fear of the father was that as Raymond grew in piety, that perhaps he would enter into a religious order. And with that, not only would he not follow in his father's footsteps towards glory and not inherit the things that his father had worked hard to save up for him, but also he would not continue on the familial line. And so he decided that he would send Raymond off to the countryside in order that he might take up occupation there in order to keep him away from the orders that were in the city. Raymond, still subject to his father, dutifully went without protest. And when he was in the countryside, he looked to see which occupation to take up and decided upon taking up the work of a shepherd. This was primarily because, as a shepherd, it was work that afforded him more opportunities in its solitude for reflection and time in which active work wasn't necessary while the sheep were grazing, which he could spend in prayer. And so he did. In fact, where he was, he found a small little cave that was once a hermitage and that had still hanging within it a beautiful image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which he would regularly retreat to and go and pray in front of. As he was there and nearing adulthood, the devil came one time particularly to try and tempt him. He appeared before him and started to whisper things to him which were meant to discourage Raymond. He told him that he knew that Raymond wanted to dedicate his life in the way of religion and serving God, but in reality that he was incapable of doing so well, that he was not fit to become a religious. In fact, the devil pointed out, you aren't even fit to be a shepherd. You do not do a good job in taking care of these sheep. And so if you can't be well entrusted with the beasts, how could you be entrusted with man? These words fell heavily upon the shoulders of Saint Raymond. And in that realization of temptation towards despair, he called out and cried to his heavenly mother. And right away, as he called upon her intercession, the devil immediately disappeared. And then Our Lady took the form in that picture and began to speak to him, telling him of what his vocation was meant to be. She spoke to him and told him that he was meant to enter and take the habit of a new religious order that had just been formed. The order for the redemption of captives. And so he did, and received the habit from St. Peter Velasco himself. Right away, Raymond set out with full zeal to put himself to work in the mission of that religious order. He traveled down to Algiers, and which is in Africa, and began to work in liberating Christians from captivity and enslavement to the Mohammedans. He worked tirelessly. He raised great funds for this purpose, and he freed many men in doing so. But at a certain point, while his work had not been exhausted, his funds ultimately in the end were, and he wasn't able to replenish the coffers sufficiently enough to continue to buy the freedom of captive Christians. And so, left with only himself, this is what he offered. He gave himself over to the captors in exchange for the liberty of some of the other Christians. They took him and put him into slavery, and he realized in doing so what he was facing up against, but also realized the good work that could be done and must be done, because the Mohammedans, they were harsh to the Christians. They treated them very severely. They punished them severely. And they very often worked to coerce them to apostatize from Christianity and embrace Islam, promising them, on one hand, the carrot of freedom and pleasures in this life, and on the other hand, when refused, punishing them harshly in the way of torture in order to try to win them over by force. Taken into bondage, Raymond looked at it as his responsibility now to encourage these Christians in persevering in the faith. And with this, his own treatment became worse. He was beaten and tortured regularly for it, but all the while, he only continued his efforts. Moreover, as they had to come to punish him, Raymond saw it as an opportunity to also preach to his captors. And with that, his tormentors were made to listen to the gospel. With this, they became increasingly frustrated with him and brought him before the judge, the head master over the slaves, and he was tried and ultimately sentenced to a horrible and horrific death for his crimes of blasphemy in the eyes of Islam. But as they were greedy more than they were pious, his death sentence was ultimately commuted to one that was of just despicable pain and hardship, in order that they might have hope of retrieving a ransom for him. They took him, and they took a red-hot iron and pierced through his lips, and then took a heavy padlock and locked them together so that he may no longer speak the word of God around others. Then they weighed him down with heavy chains and cast him into a dark dungeon. They would come and unlock the padlock only once every 3 days, and this merely to be able to provide him with just enough food to maintain life in his body. This type of existence lasted for 8 months until finally his ransom had been raised and his liberty had been paid for. When he was to be set free, though, Raymond expressed his desire to stay among the captives, realizing that that these men would have to continue to suffer without him, also being completely willing to give every last bit of his life in order to help in this way for their salvation. But with the recognition of how much he had already endured and his failing health, his superiors ordered him in obedience to return to the monastery and recover. With that, Raymond obeyed without hesitation. Hearing of the trials and the great witness borne by St. Raymond, the Pope, for his part, was astounded by the story and immediately offered to him the red hat as a cardinal, which, being made to accept, Raymond did. But instead of going to find his own palace as was due to him and his own funds to come to him as what was worthy of his state, he simply retreated back to the monastery and accepted no extra services from those in his community. Also, then the Pope realized that it wasn't enough to make him cardinal, but he wanted him to come to Rome and be with him in his presence. And so he was ordered to Rome, which Raymond, again, only out of obedience, humbly, and without protest, obeyed. But as it would be, he didn't even make it a day's journey. He started off from Barcelona, where the monastery was, and within just a few miles, when he was in the town of Cardona, he was struck with a great fever, and his weakened state from all of this time of torture and hardship caused him to realize that it was to be fatal, and there he died at the age of 37. Interestingly, after he died, there was a sort of war over Raymond. The people of Cardona, the city in which he died in, the clergy of Barcelona, from where he was from, and the clergy of his own religious order, all recognized his sanctity and all desired to be the possessors of his relics. And the matter couldn't be settled by anybody. And here Raymond was, not even properly buried yet. And so, in the end, not being able to settle the matter, they actually placed his body and tied it on top of the back of a blind mule. And with that, they struck the mule and set him out walking, and the whole crowd followed after him. And when the mule came to a stop, they had the amazement of realizing that Providence had guided the blind mule to the very cave at which Raymond had prayed when he was a humble shepherd, and there he was buried. The calling from today's gospel is to that of the virtue of charity, to love God with our whole beings, as with every ounce of our effort that we can, and, moreover, to extend that outwards and to love our neighbor, a neighbor which is each and every person that we find in life. And so, on its surface level, when we understand the virtue of charity to be that of loving God and loving neighbor, it seems extraordinarily simple. And perhaps in concept it is that simple. But what we find is that when we put it into practice, or try to anyways, that is where the difficulty comes in. Because it is truly virtuous. And as such, it is a spiritual action. And we must rise up above ourselves, and we must do that which is greater, but it's not always easier to be done. As our Lord points out in the Gospel elsewhere, that even the pagan even the heathen loves his friends, but it is his enemy that the Christian is called to love as well. But we also understand in our application and reflection on charity that there's another point that makes it difficult to practice. That being that when we look at the aim of the virtue of charity, we see it aimed towards God, we see it aimed towards neighbor, we see it absent of serving ourselves. This is not by accident. It is purposeful. It is that charity is meant to be selfless. It is that we see in the example from the gospel, both of the priest and the Levite that come down. They think of themselves as justified, but they can't be bothered to help the man in the gutter. The reasoning is not listed, but it is certainly selfish in its nature. The Samaritan alone comes and helps, and he gains nothing by it. He is still a Samaritan, and he is derided by the Pharisees, by the Jews. He gains no recognition or no praise for it, as the man is unconscious. He takes on the burden of effort and work and money spent for the benefit of a man who will never even know him, because more than likely he'll be gone by the time he returns. But all the while, it is truly charitable, because it is not self-interested. So it is our lot as well We are meant to have true charity, the virtue of charity that renounces self and serves others. We find it readily available to us in our day-to-day lives if we are conscious to look for it. If we recognize that not only does it present itself in the normal circumstances of life, but it is actually presented to us in the very vocation of life. God calls us to charity, and he also calls us to our state in life. And those vocations themselves are all meant to be equally selfless when done well. Saint Raymond exemplified this in the various states of life that he possessed himself. He, for his part, was obedient to his father. He was obedient to the Pope. He subjected himself to his superiors and followed their instructions, even when it was contrary to what he desired, even when it meant great sacrifice and ultimately the sickness that cost him his life. In those times when he owed true and right obedience, he was quiet and humble and subjected himself in that way. We know that our states in life oftentimes provide that. Children, of course, to their parents, wives subject to their husbands, those of all of us subject to our superiors, whether in work or in religion, and ultimately all to God. Then we see with him as well that he is willing to forgo comforts of the world and treasures and accolades and prestige, much as those who are called to the religious state are meant to do, to forego the simple pleasures in order to serve others more perfectly into that higher calling in life. And we see as well with Saint Raymond that he exemplifies the point of leading. He, like a parent meant to lead a child, is a father to those who find him there in captivity with them. And so he leads first and foremost by his example. He gives completely of himself without any regard to safety, to comfort, to liberty, to prolonging of his life. He voluntarily gives himself to captivity so others may be free. He voluntarily offers himself up so that those who are ignorant may hear God, the truth preached. He voluntarily endures great hardships and imprisonment and tortures so that the Christians there with him may find strength, that they may be realizing beginning to waver and wane in themselves. He does these things because it is that continued extension of the virtue of charity. And so in that, whether it be via our prayers, our own sacrifices, or the opportunities that our state in life, our circumstances in life present to us, if we are conscious of it and we look for it, each of us will find that the day provides us with a myriad of opportunities to serve God more perfectly, to practice charity above our own self-interest, and to work our way to eternal life. So go and do you likewise. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.